Okay, I'll read because I actually prefer reading to talking, but it give you an idea of some of the issues that are involved, and then we'll talk, yeah. Actually, after I walked into the forest, basically we got lost because the contact didn't arrive. So for 2.5 days, we were walking, waiting, hoping, and then finally the contact was made. But then I'll just tell you about arriving at the camp first. So we're waiting in this village, and how it works is that a whole group of villages have a sort of young militia. They are called the Sangam. They're not the PLGA. They're not the guerrilla army. They're just the people who are lookouts and who work with the villagers, who warn, because there's a serious siege. I'll come to that later, where basically shoot to kill means shoot to kill and burn down villages, rape women, torture, all of that is going on. So this is my first encounter with the militia before I met the PLGA. About 20 young people arrive, girls and boys in their teens and early 20s. Chandu, who was one of the other guides, explains that this is the village-level militia, the lowest rung of the Maoists' military hierarchy. I have never seen anyone like them before. They are dressed in saris and lungis, some in frayed olive-green fatigues. The boys wear jewelry and headgear. Everyone of them has a muzzle-loading rifle, what's called a bharmar. Some also have knives, axes, a bow and arrow. One boy carries a crude mortar fashioned out of a heavy 3-foot galvanized iron pipe. It's filled with gunpowder and shrapnel and ready to be fired. It makes a big noise but can only be used once. Still, it scares the police, they say, and giggle. War doesn't seem to be uppermost on their minds, perhaps because their area is just outside the home range of the Salwa Judum. The Salwa Judum is the people's militia that has been raised by the government of tribal people. You know, it's like pitting indigenous people against indigenous people. They've just finished a day's work helping to build fencing around some village houses to keep the goats out of the fields. They're full of fun and curiosity. The girls are confident and easy with the boys. I have a sensor for this sort of thing, and I'm impressed. Their job, Chandu says, is to patrol and protect a group of 4 or 5 villages and to help in the fields, clean wells or repair houses, doing whatever is needed. After dinner, without much talk, everyone falls in line. Clearly, we're moving. Everything moves with us, the rice, vegetables, pots and pans. We leave the school compound and walk single file into the forest. In less than half an hour, we arrive in a glade where we're going to sleep. There's absolutely no noise. Within minutes, everyone has spread their blue plastic sheets, the ubiquitous jilli, without which there will be no revolution. Chandu and Mangtu share one and spread one out for me. They find me the best place by the best gray rock. Chandu says he sent a message to the comrades. If they get it, they'll be there first thing in the morning, if they get it. It's the most beautiful room I've slept in a long time, my private suite in a 1,000-star hotel. I'm surrounded by these strange, beautiful children with their curious arsenal. They're all Maoists for sure. Are they all going to die? Is the jungle warfare college for them, and the helicopter gunships, the thermal imaging, and the laser rangefinders? Why must they die? What for? To turn all of this into a mine? I remember my visit to the open cast ore mines in Orissa. There was a forest there once, and children like these, but now the land is like a raw red wound. Dust fills your nostrils and lungs. The water is red. The air is red. The people are red. Their lungs and hair are red. All day and all night, trucks rumble through their villages, bumper to bumper. Thousands and thousands of trucks carrying iron ore to Paradip port from where it will go to China. And there it'll turn into cars and smoke and sudden cities that spring up overnight into a growth rate that leaves economists breathless, into weapons that make war. Everyone's asleep except for the sentries who take 1.5 hour shifts. Finally, I can look at the stars. When I was a child growing up on the banks of the Meenachal River, I used to think the sound of crickets, which always started up at twilight, was the sound of stars revving up, getting ready to shine. I'm surprised at how much I love being here. There's nowhere else in the world that I would rather be. Who should I be tonight? Comrade Rahel under the stars. Maybe the comrades will come tomorrow. They arrive early in the morning. I could see them from a distance, about 15 of them, all in olive green uniforms running towards us. Even from a distance, from the way they run, I can tell they're the heavy hitters, the People's Liberation Guerrilla Army, the PLGA, for whom the thermal imaging and laser-guided rifles, for whom the jungle warfare school. They carry serious rifles, INSAS, SLR, two have AK-47s. The leader of the squad is Comrade Madhav, who's been with the party since he was 9. He's from Warangal, Andhra Pradesh. These comrades have been in the forest for 30 years, working among the people. He's upset and extremely apologetic. There was a major miscommunication, he says again and again, which usually never happens. I was supposed to have arrived at the main camp on the first night, but someone dropped the baton. We made you wait, we made you walk so much, we ran all the way when the message came that you were here. I said it was okay, that I'd come prepared to walk and wait and listen. It's a few hours' walk to the camp. It's getting dark when we arrive. There are several layers of sentries and concentric circles of patrolling. There must be 100 comrades lined up in 2 rows. Everyone has a weapon and a smile. They begin to sing, Lal Lal Salam, Lal Lal Salam. Aane wale saathiyon ko Lal Lal Salam. Red salute to the comrades who have arrived. It was sung sweetly as though it were a folk song about a river or a forest blossom. With the song, the greeting, the handshake, the clenched fist. Other than that, a large blue jelly spread out on the floor about 15 feet square. There are no signs of a camp. This one has a jelly roof as well. It's my room for the night. I was either being rewarded for my day's walking or being pampered in advance for what lay ahead, or both. Either way, it was the last time in the entire trip I was going to have a roof over my head. Over dinner, I meet Comrade Narmada in charge of the Krantikari Adivasi Mahila Sangathan, which means the Revolutionary Indigenous Women's Association, which has 90,000 members, who has a price on her head. Comrade Saroja of the PLGA, who's only as tall as her SLR. Comrade Mase, which means black girl in Gondi, who has a price on her head too. Comrade Rupi, the tech wizard. Comrade Raju, who's in charge of the division I'd be walking through. Between us, we speak Gondi, Halbi, Telugu, Punjabi, and Malayalam. Only Mase speaks English, so we all communicate in Hindi. Comrade Mase is tall and quiet and seems to have to swim through a layer of pain to enter the conversation. But from the way she hugs me, I can tell she's a reader and that she misses having books in the jungle. She will tell me her story only later when she trusts me with her grief. Bad news arrives as it does in this jungle. A runner with biscuits, which are handwritten notes on sheets of paper folded and stapled into little squares. There's a bag full of them, like chips. News from everywhere. The police have killed 5 people in Ongnar village, 4 from the militia and 1 ordinary villager. On the radio, there's news about the Home Minister's meeting with chief ministers of the states affected by, quote, left-wing extremism. The chief ministers of Jharkhand and Bihar are being demure and haven't attended. Everyone sitting around the radio laughs. Around the time of elections, they say, right through the campaign, and then maybe a month or two after the government is formed, mainstream politicians all say things like, Naxals are our children. You can set your watch to the schedule of when they will change their minds and grow fangs and start to kill.